While most of us, really around the country last night, were kind of in sports limbo, as it was, there was very few baseball games, there was no basketball games. I don't even think there was a UFL game on last night. There's like gymnastics was the only thing I could find. College gymnastics. We were all kind of in the sports torture chamber. However, my co-host here was into it. Really into it. Tell everybody, Woodsy, what sporting event you were watching last night.
I had a, it was a long day. You know, I woke up early as balls, 1:55. Mm-hmm. We did the, you know, did the normal rigmarole of the show, did the round table, came home, went to get the kids and all that, and then went to pick my car up. At about 5 o'clock, I finished dinner, and I looked at Hannah and I go, I need a moment. And I was depleted. The tank was empty. I was just cashed. So I went back to my room, shut the door, which I never do, and I just laid down and I put on the TV and I go,
I don't need to hear this.
What?
No.
Oh, no. It didn't go there. I was too tired. I couldn't if I wanted to. I was exhausted. So I put on the TV and I'm flipping through and I go, oh, all right. NHL playoffs are on. Hell yeah. The Kraken against the Minnesota Wild. 1-1 game. I'm like, all right, bro. I playoff hockey's killer. But I'm going to watch this. I'm watching. And I'm looking and I'm like, I don't see any graphics. They're not doing a great job promoting how exciting these NHL playoffs are. Probably because...
dropping the ball.
Yeah, probably because it wasn't the playoffs. Okay? Probably because it was the regular season finale.
Not only was it not the playoffs, you were watching two teams that had already been eliminated from playoff contention. Playing out the string at the end of the year.
I didn't know that. Just now.
Just there so they don't get fined.
They had sold tickets. They have to show up and play the game. Probably some of their young prospects called up just to give them a little ice time at the end of the season.
And I'm watching it. I'm into it. And I'm like, yes. Boy, these teams are going to battle it out for what? 5 games, 7 games, whatever it is in the opening round of the NHL playoffs. I don't even know.
I have a small confession to make as well. First, we need a contestant for Take on Woods. It's a couple minutes away, but if you want to join us, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973, our musical trivia game. Qualify for Las Vegas coming up. I was all set to watch the Western Conference play-in tournament final game.
Yeah.
The Sacramento Kings and the New Orleans Pelicans last night. And I kept turning on. I thought it was on TNT, and I go to 34, and it's like...
One of those reruns,
and I go, maybe if it's on TBS, why would they put it on TBS? No, it must be on ESPN. And I went to ESPN, and it was like college gymnastics, and I'm going... What am I missing here? Why is the game not on? Why can I not? Is it on NBA TV? It's like that doesn't even come in my work TV channel. Why can I not find this playoff game? It's Tuesday, Wednesday, then Thursday is back to the Western Conference, and Friday is the Eastern Conference game. And I could not figure out where the NBA play-in tournament was. You know, I was kind of thinking, oh, Kings, Pelicans, this is going to be a good game. The winner gets the Thunder in the first round. Finally, I just go to the computer and go, I got to look this up. Where am I missing this? Games today, not yesterday. They're playing both of them today, Western and Eastern Conference 8th seed elimination games tonight. So there was no basketball, and I did not realize that. I just assumed that they were just going every other day. Like, I'm just an idiot.
Yeah.
When you assume.
Me settling in for some playoff hockey on a Thursday night. Abandoning my family at crunch time, I call it 5 o'clock. I'm just abandoning them fully. Like, Hannah, you got it. I need a blow for a minute. And so I watched some of the game, and I texted Ben, and I go, am I watching the playoffs? He goes,
are these the NHL playoffs I'm watching, or is this still the regular season?
Because there was no fanfare. None whatsoever. You'd think that they'd be like, oh, man, playoff hockey's here. You'd think there'd be a graphic. You think they'd be promoting the
series,
other.
Like series tied, 0-0 at this point, something like that.
Well, it was on ESPN, so I'm assuming it's a big game. I know they have... they do a lot of NHL. They have the thing, I think. So, no, just settling in on abandoning my family again for a
meaningless
game with two teams that aren't going to the playoffs. No. I wasn't even getting like a good at least I can see what the Kraken are doing, see how they're moving the puck. No. Nothing. It's completely a waste of time. Ben goes, no, man, that's a regular season.
Pretty close, though. It's Saturday. Tomorrow. The NHL playoffs get underway. The NBA playoffs get underway tomorrow as well.
I felt like a big dummy, which is fine.
How long did you keep watching?
I watched a whole period. I did. I watched a whole period. Well, I watched a whole period until I asked.
And then when you asked and realized you were watching regular season finales, playoffs.
That's when I got up. Got the kids out of the bath and started doing some fatherly duties, put them to bed, and then I came back in. Hannah was watching Shark Tank, and I said, okay, I'm just going to read.
Any good products they were pitching on Shark Tank?
I read a book instead to try to, get tired, and it was great. I slept much, much better, but, I needed to get rest. I've got now this is interesting. I have a Seals game tonight. Speaking of, and I think it's meaningless for us. Now, the Vancouver Warriors.
You clinched a home playoff game no matter what next weekend.
But the interesting thing is Vancouver, who's coming in, right? There's a couple interesting parts to this story, even if you don't even know what we're talking about. Seals are our NLL, National League, National Lacrosse League, box lacrosse team. I do PA for them, if you didn't know. They're red hot, the Warriors, and I think they're still fighting for a playoff spot. That being said, their head coach, if you guys remember, last year, he was the head coach for the Calgary Roughnecks. And he is the guy that wrote on a whiteboard, cheater, and held it up and stared at me like Charles Manson.
Remember this?
And he wrote cheater and was like, had this death, like these big eyes. He's a scary dude. He's Kurt Malosky. He's now the head coach of the Vancouver Warriors. They're coming in red hot. I think they need to win.
What did he think you were doing?
So remember this. It was one of those games. Now, Pechanga Arena, San Diego, is an older arena. There's a to my right in the penalty box, there's a guy on my left, my boy LL, and he does all the clock management. He does the shot clock. He does the game clock. He handles the horns, everything. I'm in the middle with just a handheld microphone. That's all I have. Then to my right is our production director, right? He's got the replay thing in front of him. There's another ref in there that turns the light on and the shot clock. He does the shot clock reset, actually. So I'm harmless in this. I'm just, hey, let's go Seals. Come on, defense. That's my job. They thought I was manipulating the replay and or the shot clock and or the game clock. And I have no control. Zero.
But because you stand in the middle of all of it, it looks like you're orchestrating.
Correct.
You're the puppet master.
The puppet master.
And they thought there was some sort of Houston Astros level conspiracy going on with
the
Seals.
Not only did their coach hold up a sign on a whiteboard that said cheater and looked at me again like he wanted to murder me. The Calgary Roughneck players were walking over to the glass pointing at me going, you're horse ass. You're horse. I almost soiled myself. lacrosse players, by the way, are tough as nails. As nails. I was terrified of them. And they're pointing in the booth. You horses! And I'm like, I just do PA. I'm like hyping up the crowd. So he's coming back tonight. He did apologize to the media after the game. He said his emotions get the better of him. But he never apologized to me.
Did anyone ever like...
No!
Like clear it up for him. Like you're not involved in any way.
I have
cheater.
No.
There's in our YouTube stream. There's the picture.
No way, you found it.
Paulie found the picture.
Josh tweeted it in.
There
look
it is. At
I was trying to find. I was like,
that's directed at you.
I remember there was a picture of this.
Look at that serial killer.
He does. I mean, I hate to judge a book by its cover, but that guy does look like a criminal.
I'll be honest. He looks like a murderer. And he was holding that up, and again, those players.
It looks like he's played by Al Pacino.
Yeah. Cheetah. It was terrifying. So he's coming in back tonight.
Okay.
This game doesn't mean much for us, But I'm like, I kind of want to beat the Everlast. I'm going to get hyped tonight.
You hype him up. That's your job.
That's my job.
Hype everybody up. Win one for Woods tonight.
Yeah, Adam in the chat says he's got an odd smile while making the accusation. Yeah, that's what serial killers do. As they murder you, they're smiling. So he's here. He's in town. Hannah goes, do you think he'll apologize before the game? I go, I don't think so. I don't think he'll
walk the first move.
Do I make the first move?
What's up? What's up, Chief?
Hey, bro, just so you know, do I give him that? Hey, man, can we clear the air here? I just want you to know my responsibilities. Please don't send your...
I think you talk, like, down on him.
Oh, do you?
How you doing, little guy?
He would kick my ass. You see him?
Nah, you got this.
So if you needed an excuse to come to the Seals game tonight, sealslax.com, it should be interesting.
James in the chat says he really wants to take on Woods.
Let's do it.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on
Woods. Woods.
Now we got Joe in the waiting room here to take on Woods, which is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
All right, let's see if we can get you qualified for Las Vegas. Two nights at the Westgate. You can check out their $70 million in room renovations and going to throw in some tickets to Kool and the Gang for their residency at the stage at the Westgate. Get them now at Ticketmaster.com. All right, here are your categories. We still have royal titles, British royal titles appearing in all answers, fire and ice. Those are musical artists or bands with either fire or ice in their name. And our new category, no lefts, all right. Five song titles that include the word or phrase, all right. So of those three, Joe, royal titles, fire and ice or no lefts, all right. What would you like to play?
Let's go with fire and ice.
Fire and ice. Okay, Joe, we've got five questions. They are all different musical artists or bands, and they will have either fire or ice in their name. You'll have 60 seconds to get as many of the five as possible. Then Woods will go. If you beat her tie, we'll put you into the drawing for Las Vegas. First question's the 2-second song. Polly is queuing it up right now. You need to give me both the title of that song and the artist with fire or ice in their name to score that point. Joe, are you ready to play?
Yeah, let's do it.
Polly, you good? All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music, the category fire and ice. Good luck, Joe. Let's take on Woods. Born Robert Van Winkle, which rapper was accused of copyright infringement and had to give co-writing credit for his biggest hit to David Bowie and Queen?
Pass.
Which band is best known for an English language 1982 cover version of Falco's Der Kommissar?
Pass.
Which Canadian indie rock band won a 2011 Album of the Year Grammy for The Suburbs?
Man, I ain't got it today.
Born in the Bronx in 2000, which female rapper gained early fame on TikTok for her song Munch and has collaborated with artists including Taylor Swift and Nicki Minaj?
Oh, I got a big goose egg today.
Oh, no.
Do you remember?
Let me just ask you, Joe, do you know any bands with fire or ice in their name? Can you think of one? Maybe you picked the category wrong
Firehouse.
Today. Firehouse. No, that's not one of them. Let's just leave it there. We'll bring Woods in and give everyone another chance to go through the answers. All right.
Can I tell you how committed I am to the sanctity of this game? Walk out into there, out in the little hallway, and I hear your beautiful dulcet tones.
Oh, so you had to go find somewhere that was playing it and turn it down.
And there's a cue speaker out there. That one was off. And I'm like, where is it coming from? So I ran down two studios in.
Someone was listening. You had to turn it down.
I turned it off.
Good work.
Just so you know.
I don't know
committed.
If it's going to matter too much today. We'll see. All right, 60 seconds back on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods.
Hope you're ready.
Let's take on Joe.
Steely Dan.
Incorrect. All right, born Robert Van Winkle, which rapper was accused of copyright infringement and had to get
Vanilla Ice.
Correct. Which band is best known for an English language 1982 cover version of Falco's Der Kommissar?
Don't turn around. Oh. What is the pass?
Which Canadian indie rock band won a 2011 Album of the Year Grammy for the Suburbs?
Oh, Arcade Fire.
Correct. Born in the Bronx in 2000, which female rapper gained early fame on TikTok for her song Munch and has collaborated with artists including Taylor Swift and Nicki Minaj?
Did you say Munch?
Munch.
Pass.
Which band is best known for an English language 1982 cover version of Falco's Der Kommissar?
All I can think of is Falco. I don't know the category. I'm out.
All right. Two.
Two.
Which is a win. It was a tough category. Maybe Joe doesn't feel as bad for his goose egg today.
That was tough. What's
the
category? The
category was fire and ice. Bands with fire or ice.
So the first one was
name.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, September by Earth, Wind, and
Idiot.
Fire.
Well, Steely Dan.
You got Vanilla Ice. After the Fire
After
is
the fire.
Der Kommissar. You got Arcade Fire and Ice Spice.
Ice Spice. Got
is
it.
Your TikTok munch. Collaborator with Taylor Swift and Nicki Minaj.
That was tough.
All right, tough one today. Don't Do This is coming up next. Paulie, we have some, well, pre-NFL draft press conference as pointless of a press conference as you're ever going to get from one of the NFL head coaches, because they never tell you anything about what they're going to do in the draft. So why on earth would it make Don't Do This? You'll have to wait and find out.
One of my favorite
coming up
things
next.
That we do.
With Ben and Woods after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You're a dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for our 97.3 The Fan commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Woods and myself, Annie and Elston, Gwen and Chris, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable. The Last Honest Pizza had a really, really good roundtable yesterday.
Yeah.
Enjoyed that. Annie's going to step in to my hosting role next week when I'm on vacation. Right now, though, it's time for Don't Do This. And Woodsy has been anticipating this audio all morning.
You know, usually when there's a fartgate situation, somebody will be talking and then they're talking and then in the background you hear it.
Wait, what was that?
You're like, did he just... Well... Jaguars GM is Balky?
Trent Balky.
Balky.
Yeah.
He didn't want there to be any misconceptions about what he actually did at a press conference. And I got to imagine if you're a GM of an NFL team, you probably want to control yourself a little bit more.
Let's all listen in.
Let's listen in. You tell me.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final four yet.
What? Excuse me.
Let's listen one more time and determine whether or not that really was.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
He ripped one right in the middle of his... You can't hold it, Trent, for five more minutes?
Could it have been... It sounded a little bit like my throat noise.
Maybe it wasn't a... Could have been guttural.
Do you have my throat noise for comparison?
I can find it. Give me 1 second.
Because it seemed like it was somewhat similar.
I didn't see, like, he didn't, like, lift or anything.
Wait, hold on. I mean, that would really be bold in front of a room full of people on television with a microphone in front of you.
Could have been guttural. But he did say,
excuse me. He did, there was a bit of a pause for a sniff as well, which was odd. I don't know if you noticed that.
He maybe did the sniff cover-up, like, oh, this one's coming out, to try to cover it up.
But then he apologized, like,
excuse me. Well, he realized it came out louder.
And here's Ben.
You thought that was good news yesterday.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Now, Trent Balky.
Going through, Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
I think it's a fart.
I think it's a fart. Boom. That's a fart.
See, that's fart. A different sound, though.
That's a fart.
He farted.
Fartgate. Well, now nobody knows. When, yeah, nobody in the chat says that Ben noise just kills him every time. Me too. Every time. Yeah, that's a guttural. Trent Baalke was a, he tooted. He tooted. My kids say.
And he says, excuse me.
Excuse me.
Like, that's.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Yeah, he tooted. All right, go ahead. I'm done.
Now my story kind of pales in comparison.
Sorry
to
about that.
That.
Sorry.
Very interesting one, though. a criminal charges have been filed against 39-year-old Robert Glubensky from Augusta, Georgia, who is alleged to have moved, quote, millions of dollars worth of Masters Golf Tournament merchandise and historical memorabilia from the club from 2009 to 2022. He's charged with taking it over state lines to Tampa, Florida. What is not clear yet in this story is exactly where he is getting all of his stolen goods.
What kind of goods are we talking?
Is he just shoplifting every year at the Masters from the merchandise tent? I mean, they also say historical memorabilia. Is he going into the clubhouse, taking things off the walls?
Yeah, here's Rory's, or here's Phil Mickelson's old wedge that we have on
display.
Is
he stealing, like, green jackets here? But, I mean, millions of dollars of merchandise over a 14-year period. Guy is like
an inside job.
He's from Augusta, so maybe like some sort of inside job, and he's like the black market of, you know, it
we
fell off a
golf,
truck.
We, like, talking golf
is
shirts.
This like
we talking
make deliveries to the club for merchandise, and it somehow it never makes it in, and he just has been waylaying it or something. They're kind of light on the overall details. It's just that it's been going on for 13 years. It's a total of millions of dollars of memorabilia. He's been driving it from Georgia to Florida when he gets it.
Where that's the best place to fence Masters.
Is that well known? Yeah.
It's Florida.
If found guilty, it just says here, this is kind of funny, Glubensky would have to return all the stolen goods or money made from them. Really? Found guilty, he just doesn't get to keep it all. You got me. Should I give it back? No, it's fine.
I fenced it in Florida, as you guys know. All right, let's get to some doo-doo this.
D-D mega doo-doo.
So the San Diego Rotary Club honored Peter Seidler with the Mr. San Diego Award yesterday. It is the most prestigious award, Ben, according to Allison Edmonds, that can be granted to a San Diegan. Pretty cool. He was notified of this honor before he passed. Mm-hmm. And his wife, Sheil, was there to accept. And again, strap in. I mean, it just is so sweet.
This is a wonderful picture of Peter right here. So thank you for that. Peter, he was a businessman, and but he never thought of himself that way. Sometimes I'd be filling out forms for, you know, various things for the children's activities, and they'd ask for his occupation, and he'd be peering over my shoulder, and he'd be like, put artist. Because that's how he saw himself. And he never needed the spotlight, as some of the speakers have mentioned. But he also wasn't afraid to use his platform for those without a voice or those who could truly benefit, like Dan mentioned. His passing was sudden and tragic. I don't think that's always been conveyed in the press. But it was a shock to me and the children and the family. And in the past few months, the shock, acceptance, you know, all the feelings. And with that, all the memories come up. Like Schulte was saying, I also talk to Peter all the time. I don't know what anyone thinks about that, but it works for me. And I asked him, you know, what should I tell everyone, honey? And I think one observation I have of how he did business is that you can always afford to be kind, no matter what conversation you're having or who it's with.
Such a good reminder, as usual. You can always afford to be kind. I'm not guilty of that and at every chance, but I do feel guilty now after hearing that message from Shiel Seidler, and
that was amazing.
It was incredible. I mean, it was a great reminder.
Obviously, we've seen Shiel and the kids at some of the events, the memorial and everything, but she didn't speak, and I totally understand why. It's very emotional, yeah. But I loved what she had to say about Peter Artist. Just put artist. And I loved the statement. It's you can always afford to be kind. I did not know. And she said the one thing that hadn't been portrayed in the media, and I'll say I think we're all as guilty as this as anyone else. I think because we had heard, you know, Peter was ill for some months and had stepped away a little bit from the team and the day-to-day.
Of course, his history.
That we kind of assumed that, well, obviously, they must have known things weren't going bad, and he was kind of getting sick over a period of time, and that it wasn't as unexpected. And to find out that, no, it really was quite unexpected.
Makes
that they
tougher.
Were fully, you know, I assume, like, fully expecting him to get better, and then it just didn't happen, that is somehow makes it even more sad a little bit to me. Not that it wasn't incredibly sad to begin with, but I did not realize that, and I apologize for ever insinuating that I did think, just kind of assumed that because he had backed away and had been ill, that it wasn't as unexpected as it was. So I did not know that.
Yeah,
so.
great message. You know, it's just a great message. You can always afford to be kind. I will try my very hardest.
It's okay if you fail sometimes,
yeah,
but
of course.
As long as you're trying.
Yeah, just try it. So that's all you need to do.
That's an important don't and do this for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, let's take a time out. If you want to join us, our phone lines are open, 833-288-0973. We want to talk about the Padres as they come back home this weekend. The FanGraphs piece we were discussing earlier, the maybe a newfound optimism through 3 weeks of the season about the San Diego Padres. Please join us this morning, 833-288-0973. You got more Ben and Woods on the way in just a moment on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. That's some pretty significant news yesterday if you're a longtime San Diego sports watcher. And wanted to give my best wishes to Uncle Teddy, Ted Leitner, who is
the great Uncle Teddy,
who is down to one last season. San Diego State announced that he's stepping away from the football broadcast. He will do one more season of San Diego State basketball, and then he will call it a career. Decades long San Diego sportscasting legend, Ted Leitner. And I brought back we've done some pieces over the years with Ted on television. Of course, we've had him on our show many times.
I pulled my diphthong in college.
Over the years, calling not just Padres, but Chargers, Clippers, Aztecs.
He's a man of many talents.
Multiple sports, 25 years at Channel 8, had his own morning radio show at the same time as well.
Amazing.
An absolute legend in the business. We pulled some clips of the last time we interviewed him. I think it was when he had his book came out, remember?
Yeah.
And I love this one. He said, every year they would do the poll in the San Diego Magazine and the UT, and I would always win best sportscaster, and I would always win worst sportscaster as
it's
well.
Incredible.
Every single year, I won both best and worst sportscaster in San Diego.
You loved him, you hated him, but you listened all the time.
I got a broadcast here, and you're worried about a suitcase. Unbelievable.
I love him. I absolutely love him.
These people are unbelievable in this arena. They got security guards, think they're guarding the Pentagon. Come over here interrupting me during a broadcast to worry about a suitcase. Unbelievable.
Absolutely incredible, incredible audio, an incredible human. We've all gotten the chance to talk to him so many times. I hate to see, I hate when a guy like Vern Lundquist, right? Like, I hate that he's not doing the Masters anymore. I'm going to not like that Uncle Teddy's not working, in sportscasting anymore. I love that dude. And he was, for me, when I moved here, such an acquired taste because I had never heard anything like him ever. And I'll never.
Here's a concept. Bite me.
I remember the first time it was 2010 and I was driving back from, I think, the first Padres game I ever went to, and I was listening to the game. I was like, who is this clown? Like, he's a clown. And I listened to the next one and I listened to the next one. Then I started to, you know, learn about who he was, and I went, oh, I love this dude. This guy's fantastic. And all the stories and the legends, and, you know, my father-in-law worked with Uncle Teddy as well. Great picture of them from back in the day. Uncle Teddy with a full head of dark hair. I mean, just incredible. An incredible career.
And this ball game belongs to my San Diego Padres.
A total class act.
I was
all the way.
I was talking to Kimberly Hunt about Ted last night. She never worked with him directly, but she's known him for a long time as well. East County Chris says Uncle Teddy's segment on Channel 8 News was must watch TV in the 80s and 90s. There we go. And what was always amazing about Uncle Teddy, he never used a prompter.
He never flubbed three times.
Would never have done that.
No, he wouldn't either. But he never used a prompter. He'd walk in, and he had good producers, and they'd set up like the video and everything. And yep. here's what you got, you know. And he'd go for like 5 minutes. They gave him more time than I've ever had on a sports segment on Channel 10. And he'd just sit down, and he'd just go, just off the cuff. You know, and he would be funny and witty and insightful and angry, and he could just muster it all in a 5-minute sports cast every single night. Controversial.
Could you imagine winging it like that?
I mean, we do for 4 hours essentially every morning, but with the pictures and everything, it's not easy to do.
No, I mean,
it's not easy to do.
Winging it on television.
Navigating a television broadcast
is way different than this. I mean, this, if we screw up, we screw up. I mean, who cares?
Obviously.
I mean, look what we're talking about here. I have a tremendous, tremendous amount of respect for Teddy Leitner and the way he handles everything. And just been such a pleasure and honor to get to know him. And I wish him nothing but the best in health and whatever he decides to do. He's a fascinating character. What was his bit with hockey? He hated hockey.
He would only show fights. When he did highlights, he would never show actual highlights, only the fights. And last night I did a little story on Ted, and I went right into a hockey story because I said, because everyone knows hockey was always Teddy's favorite sport.
I love it, man. He's like me. He wasn't afraid to say he didn't like, I don't really watch the NBA.
True.
I'm just like, if it works for Uncle Teddy.
It drove people crazy, too. Wanted real hockey highlights. He wouldn't give them to him.
There's two stories about him. One, he told me that his kids stopped telling. They'd go, are you? And they'd go, no. Mm-mm, that's not my dad. Which is gnarly, right? Because he goes, the other, like, the kids of dads that hated me hated my kids, and that was unfair. And I think about that with my kids. And then the other one was, he told us this on the air. Somebody had gotten traded here from the Dodgers, and the guy, whoever got traded here, like, sought out Uncle Teddy and walked up to him and was like, hey, bro, they hate you.
The Dodgers.
The former we. They hate you. All the players hate you. The fans want you dead. And I'm nodding along going, this is the way.
You know, so
is the way.
That's very interesting because obviously you can make a lot of comparisons between me and Uncle Teddy.
I've
been Channel 10 for 20 years, morning radio show host, you know, similar careers. But in many ways, you're the Uncle Teddy of the group. He was always unafraid to talk about his personal life and kind of failings as well. I mean, famous for ex-wives, and he would joke about constantly about, you know, just the many ex-Mrs. Leitners.
I'm not famous for ex-wives.
But you're more than willing to talk about your life and the things that are less than perfect sometimes in your life. And Ted would always do that as well.
He's San Diego's new Ted Leitner.
What was that from?
I don't know.
That's the thing. We never know the context of any of these things.
I actually don't know.
I doubt I was just bragging about it.
That was from 2021.
I'm San Diego's new Ted Leitner.
There's definitely some irony somewhere in my tone, but I don't remember that comment either. All right, let's check. Oh, by the way, Teddy did say, I will miss everything about it. But he also said that it gets to the point where you still love the work, but the road gets very wearying, tired of the road, and Mountain West travel is awful. You know, Wyoming, Colorado, Springs, and Fort Collins, and those trips that he won't have to take during football season anymore. But I'm glad he's going to do one more hoop season. I'm really glad that in these last couple of years, he got to go to a Final Four.
Yeah,
something
man.
That, you know, probably never imagined he'd get to do, calling San Diego State basketball. So that is really cool that he got that opportunity to do that and call a national championship game a little over a year ago.
Love that, dude. Wish you well, Uncle Teddy.
All right, love you. If you want to join us, 833-288-0973 and get some phone calls after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's always a bit of a roulette wheel when we go out to the phone since we don't have a screener. So let's just go to line one. Is this Alex? Good morning.
Yeah, you're on Better Woods.
Hey, how are you doing?
Can you hear me? Great.
I can hear you. Loud and clear.
Good. Hey, I'm really excited to get out to Petco for another little mini homestand coming up this weekend. And I wanted to bring up something that has been bugging me. I called in a couple weeks ago. Oh, yeah, it was something else Petco-wise that was bugging me.
Sure.
This time I'm wondering if you guys want to use the platform that you guys have to affect some positive change in the world here. And this has something to do with our beloved DJ EJ and the vibes that we're feeling at Petco.
Hmm.
And I'm wondering, why are we still listening to Spoon Man riff for the every strikeout that we hear? Right, Woods? I know you're from the 90s. I'm from the 90s too. I love Soundgarden. I love Bad Motorfinger and you know, Chris Cornell. Shout out to his family and everything.
100%.
But it's just a strange thing that I've been wondering. And my sister actually, maybe a year ago, took to Twitter and tried to talk to like Bobby and DJ EJ about like, what is this? And like DJ EJ didn't really have a great explanation about why it was even, you know, implemented in the first place. And so now that like, you know, it's years later and the vibes have become so much different than they were like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It seems like we could pick something a little more vibe friendly than, you know, the like shredding riff.
What's the riff they play? I can hear it. Is it just the dun 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 dun?
Yeah, it's been playing for years. I want to say it goes back to like the Qualcomm Stadium days when a pitcher would get a strikeout. And I don't know the real answer for you, Alex, other than
so good, dude.
I can promise you this. If you took it away, you'd get more complaints than you can imagine. Because people get used to things
get
used to things, and you try to take it away, and even though you could replace it with something that's 10 times better, you'd have a large segment of people who are going, what happened? I love when you would play Spoon Man after a strikeout. I mean, same thing on a walk. I mean, just Ric Flair always, we have to do the woo after every single walk, but they do every single time a Padres player walks. And I can't, how many seasons do you think it's been that every walk has been accompanied by the Ric Flair woo and everyone does the woo? If you stop doing it though, people would lose their minds. There it is. Strikeout.
My only fear is that it would be replaced by something I hated even more, right? Like something I'd be like, oh no, you know? Like Soundgarden never fails me, but I can see his point. It doesn't make any sense. Like it logically, Spoon Man after a K doesn't make, no one's ever said, oh, that guy just served you a spoon. You're out. Like, if it was a thing.
Man.
I never really understood why they did it, but I like Soundgarden a lot. I like the woo. I do like the woo. Woo! I like that. You don't like that? I do.
I didn't say I didn't like it, but it's been going on a long time. And if the, you know, if Alex says you need to freshen things up from time to time.
I replace the bumper music here a few times
a
year.
You get tired of things.
I get tired of things quickly. I don't go to enough games for it to affect me, really. But I that's an interesting like thing to bring up. And I don't know the rules behind it and or the impetus for doing it. There's probably something you have to, don't you have to get licensing for to use that stuff?
I don't know how it works at ballparks. I assume that they have to get something.
That's so funny.
But like, what if you took away Sweet Caroline from Boston Red Sox fans? At some point, it becomes a tradition.
It's just expected
when you go to the game.
We got really bored during the pandemic, and we were trying to get them to change up some of the, you know, some of the music. Like the Broham thing was like, I think they're Dodger fans. You know, maybe we don't use that. There was, you know, we had some fun with it, but I don't think too much about that, but that is an interesting call, and I really would be curious as to why they did that in the first place.
The origination of the Spoon Man,
like you just threw him a spoon. No, I've never heard that before. Maybe I'm missing something. It's not a thing. I've been around a lot of ball players. Oh man, guys, you served them up.
I mean, it might be just like Trevor's Hell's Bells. Could be as random as anything. Just got played one day, and people responded well to it. So, well, let's do it again tomorrow, and then tomorrow became 20 years of tomorrows where they just kept doing it, you know, through inertia, never changes.
Yeah, it just, you get kind of locked in. That's an interesting point, though, that he makes. That was a fun call. I like that.
Let's get one more in here. Greg's called in. Greg, good morning. Welcome to Ben and Woods.
Good morning. Hey, the Spoon Man has nothing to do. It's just an iconic riff.
Yeah, it's just like a good riff.
Yeah. Army.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to talk about Joe Musgrove.
Okay.
Has anybody else notice how down his fastball velocity?
Yes, we have.
The last year and how low his arm slot is?
Yes, sir. We talked to Eno Saris about it yesterday. We talked about it. When was his last start? The way he gutted out that
Joe's
one,
last start was Monday on the road trip.
And, you know, yeah, I think he's probably concerned about it as well. You know, and it could be lingering from the capsule injury.
Like, how you say that?
Capsule. His capsule injury.
That's not a capsule?
Capsule.
Capsule.
Capsule. it could be lingering from that. It's not sustainable to continue to give up early runs and then hope your offense bails you out. He did give you six. He got the win and figured something out. His sweeper and his slider, the tilt on him, the spin on him looks good. It just, they weren't landing. So I think he's still just working through some stuff. I'm going to continue to kind of believe in Joe Musgrove because, the way he finished last season and coming in, I guess, semi-healthy, you know, we'll figure it out, but he needs to get it going too.
Yeah, you think with Joe, if there is a guy who can figure out how to make it work without his best stuff, you know, the kind of the dog that he is, yeah. he will come up with something. It may not be instantly, but he will figure out a way to make it work, and hopefully he'll get that mile an hour back. It's not like Joe is really old.
No.
Yet, right? How old is Joe? 31, 32? Yeah, I mean, he should still have a couple of more prime 31, yeah.
Yeah.
Should still, you know, injury, if he's healthy.
If he's healthy.
Shouldn't see that dip quite yet. Now, Yu Darvish is definitely at that age where you watch for it a little bit now, but he's got so much spin and movement that and he still gets it up to like 97.
He humps it when he
wants
to.
But you got to watch for more injuries as you get later in his career. Things like
his neck.
Stiff necks and things that us elderly people have to deal with all the time. He was finding out, yes, that does not, it kind of sucks getting older.
I'm going to start taking 15 days every time my neck is stiff. You guys would never see me.
Well, you can just take a Tylenol. Do you take a tablet or you take a...
Capsule.
A capsule. Yeah.
I take a capsule. Capsule.
All right. We'll come back. It is a Cespedes Family Barbecue Friday. We got Jake from Cespedes Family Barbecue checking in. We'll talk some baseball with him. Hour number three of Bennett Woods next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. That's some pretty significant news yesterday if you're a longtime San Diego sports watcher. And wanted to give my best wishes to Uncle Teddy, Ted Leitner, who is
great Uncle Teddy.
The great Uncle Teddy, who is down to one last season. San Diego State announced that he's stepping away from the football broadcast. He will do one more season of San Diego State basketball, and then he will call it a career. Decades-long San Diego sportscasting legend, Ted Leitner. And I brought back we've done some pieces over the years with Ted on television. Of course, we've had him on our show many times.
I pulled my diphthong in college.
Over the years, calling not just Padres, but Chargers, Clippers, Aztecs.
He's a man of many talents.
Multiple sports, 25 years at Channel 8, had his own morning radio show at the same time as well.
Amazing.
An absolute legend in the business. We pulled some clips the last time we interviewed him. I think it was when he had his book came out, remember?
Yeah.
And I love this one. He said, every year they would do the poll in the San Diego Magazine and the UT, and I would always win best sportscaster, and I would always win worst sportscaster as
it's
well.
Incredible.
Every single year, I won both best and worst sportscaster in San Diego.
You loved him, you hated him, but you listened all the time.
I got a broadcast here, and you're worried about a suitcase. Unbelievable.
I love him. I absolutely love him.
These people are unbelievable in this arena. They got security guards, think they're guarding the Pentagon. Coming over here interrupting me during a broadcast to worry about a suitcase. Unbelievable.
Absolutely incredible, incredible audio, an incredible human. I've gotten the chance, we've all gotten the chance to talk to him so many times. I I hate to see, I hate when a guy like Vern Lundquist, right? Like, I hate that he's not doing the Masters anymore. I'm going to not like that Uncle Teddy's not working, in sports casting anymore. I love that dude. And he was, for me, when I moved here, such an acquired taste because I had never heard anything like him ever. And I'll never.
Here's a concept. Bite me.
I remember the first time it was 2010 and I was driving back from, I think, the first Padres game I ever went to. And I was listening to the game. I was like, who is this clown? Like, he's a clown. And I listened to the next one and I listened to the next one. Then I started to, you know, learn about who he was. And I went, oh, I love this dude. This guy's fantastic. And all the stories and the legends and, you know, my father-in-law worked with Uncle Teddy as well. Great picture of them from back in the day. Uncle Teddy with a full head of dark hair. I mean, just incredible. An incredible career.
And this ball game belongs to my San Diego Padres.
A total, total class act.
I was
all the way.
I was talking to Kimberly Hunt about Ted last night. She never worked with him directly, but she's known him for a long time as well. East County Chris says Uncle Teddy's segment on Channel 8 News was must watch TV in the 80s and 90s. There we go. And what was always amazing about Uncle Teddy, he never used a prompter.
He never flubbed three times.
He would never have done that.
No, he wouldn't either. But he never used a prompter. He'd walk in, and he had good producers, and they'd set up like the video and everything. And yeah. here's what you got, you know. And he'd go for like 5 minutes. They gave him more time than I've ever had on a sports segment on Channel 10. And he'd just sit down, and he'd just go, just off the cuff. You know, and he would be funny and witty and insightful and angry, and he could just muster it all in a 5-minute sportscast every single night. Controversial.
Could you imagine winging it like that?
I mean, we do for 4 hours essentially every morning, but with the pictures and everything, it's not easy to do.
No, I mean,
it's not easy
winging
to do.
It on television.
Navigating a television broadcast
is way different than this. I mean, this, if we screw up, we screw up. I mean, who cares?
Obviously.
I mean, look what we're talking about here. I have a tremendous, tremendous amount of respect for Teddy Leitner and the way he handles everything. And just been such a pleasure and honor to get to know him. And I wish him nothing but the best in health and whatever he decides to do. He's a fascinating character. What was his bit with hockey? He hated hockey.
He would only show fights. When he did highlights, he would never show actual highlights, only the fights. And last night I did a little story on Ted, and I went right into a hockey story because I said, because everyone knows hockey was always Teddy's favorite sport.
I love it, man. He's so, like me. He wasn't afraid to say he didn't like. I don't really watch the NBA.
True.
I'm just like if it works for Uncle Teddy.
Oh, it drove people crazy too. Who wanted real hockey highlights. He wouldn't give them to him.
There's two stories about him. One, he told me that his kids stopped telling. They'd go, are you? And they'd go, no, that's not my dad. Which is gnarly, right? Because he goes, the other, like, the kids of dads that hated me hated my kids. And that was unfair. And I think about that with my kids. And then the other one was, he told us this on the air. Somebody had gotten traded here from the Dodgers. And the guy, whoever got traded here, like, sought out Uncle Teddy and walked up to him and was like, hey, bro, they hate you.
The Dodgers.
The former we, they hate you. All the players hate you. The fans want you dead. And I'm nodding along going, this is the way.
You know, so this is the way. That's very interesting because obviously you can make a lot of comparisons between me and Uncle Teddy.
I've been
Channel 10 for 20 years, morning radio show host, you know, similar careers. But in many ways, you're the Uncle Teddy of the group. He was always unafraid to talk about his personal life and kind of failings as well. I mean, famous for ex-wives, and he would joke constantly about, you know, just the many ex-Mrs. Leitners.
I'm not famous for ex-wives.
But you're more than willing to talk about your life and the things that are less than perfect sometimes in your life. And Ted would always do that as well.
He's San Diego's new Ted Leitner.
What was that from?
I don't know.
That's the thing. We never know the context of any of these things.
I actually don't know.
I doubt I was just bragging about it.
That was from 2021.
I'm San Diego's new Ted Leitner.
It's definitely some some irony somewhere in my tone, but I don't remember that comment either. All right, let's check. Oh, by the way, Teddy did say, I will miss everything about it. But he also said that it gets to the point where you still love the work, but the road gets very wearying, tired of the road, and Mountain West travel is awful. You know, Wyoming, Colorado, oh, yeah, Springs, and Fort Collins, and those trips that he won't have to take during football season anymore. But I'm glad he's going to do one more hoop season. I'm really glad that in these last couple of years, he got to go to a Final Four.
Yeah,
something,
man,
that, you know, probably never imagined he'd get to do, calling San Diego State basketball. So that is really cool that he got that opportunity to do that and call a national championship game a little over a year ago.
I love that, dude. Wish you well, Uncle Teddy. All right, love you.
If you want to join us, 833-288-0973, and get some phone calls after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. It's always a bit of a roulette wheel when we go out to the phone since we don't have a screener. So let's just go to line one. Is this Alex? Good morning.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hey, how are you doing?
Can you hear me? Great.
I can hear you. Loud and clear.
Good. Hey, I'm really excited to get out to Petco for another little mini homestand coming up this weekend. And I wanted to bring up something that has been bugging me. I called in a couple weeks ago. Oh, yeah, it was something else Petco-wise that was bugging me.
Sure.
This time I'm wondering if you guys want to use the platform that you guys have to affect some positive change in the world here. And this has something to do with our beloved DJ EJ and the vibes that we're feeling at Petco.
Mm.
And I'm wondering, why are we still listening to Spoon Man riff for the every strikeout that we hear? Right, Woods, I know you're from the 90s. I'm from the 90s too. I love Soundgarden. I love Bad Motorfinger and, yes, you know, Chris Cornell. Shout out to his family and everything.
100%.
But it's just a strange thing that I've been wondering. And my sister actually, maybe a year ago, took to Twitter and tried to talk to like Bobby and DJ EJ about, yeah, like, what is this? And like DJ EJ didn't really have a great explanation about why it was even, you know, implemented in the first place. And so now that, like, you know, it's years later and the vibes have become so much different than they were like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It seems like we could pick something a little more vibe friendly than, you know, the like shredding riff.
What's the riff they play? I can hear it. Is it just the dun 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 dun?
Yeah, it's been playing for years. I want to say it goes back to like the Qualcomm Stadium days when a pitcher would get a strikeout. And I don't know the real answer for you, Alex, other than
so good, dude.
I can promise you this. If you took it away, you'd get more complaints than you can imagine. Because people get used to things
get
used to things, and you try to take that away, and even though you could replace it with something that's 10 times better, you'd have a large segment of people who are going, what happened? I love when you would play Spoon Man after a strikeout. I mean, same thing on a walk. I mean, just Ric Flair always, we have to do the woo after every single walk, but they do every single time a Padres player walks. And I can't, how many seasons do you think it's been that every walk has been accompanied by the Ric Flair woo and everyone does the woo? If you stop doing it though, people would lose their minds. There it is. Strikeout.
My only fear is that it would be replaced by something I hated even more, right? Like something I'd be like, oh no, you know? Like Soundgarden never fails me, but I can see his point. It doesn't make any sense. Like it logically, Spoon Man after a K doesn't make, no one's ever said, oh, that guy just served you a spoon. You're out. Like, if it was a thing.
Man.
That I never really understood why they did it, but I like Soundgarden a lot. I like the woo. I do like the woo. Woo! I like that. You don't like that? I do.
I didn't say I didn't like it, but it's been going on a long time. And if the, you know, if Alex says you need to freshen things up,
bro,
from time to time.
I replace the bumper music here a few times
you
a year.
You get tired of things.
I get tired of things quickly. I don't go to enough games for it to affect me, really. But I that's an interesting like thing to bring up. And I don't know the rules behind it and or the impetus for doing it. There's probably something you have to, don't you have to get licensing to use that stuff?
I don't know how it works at ballparks. I assume that they have to get something.
That's so funny.
But like, What if you took away Sweet Caroline from Boston Red Sox fans? At some point, it becomes a tradition
that's just expected
when you go to the game.
We got really bored during the pandemic, and we were trying to get them to change up some of the, you know, some of the muse, like the Broham thing was like, I think they're Dodger fans. You know, maybe we don't use that. There was, you know, we had some fun with it, but I don't think too much about that. But that is an interesting call. And I really would be curious as to why they did that in the first place.
The origination of the Spoon Man.
Like, you just threw him a spoon. No, I've never heard that before. Maybe I'm missing something. It's not a thing. I've been around a lot of ball players. Oh, man, guys, you served them up.
I mean, it might be just like Trevor's Hell's Bells. Could be as random as anything. Just got played one day, and people responded well to it. So, well, let's do it again tomorrow. And then tomorrow became 20 years of tomorrows where they just kept doing it, you know, through inertia. Never changes.
Yeah, it just, you get kind of locked in. That's an interesting point, though, that he makes. That was a fun call. I like that.
Let's get one more in here. Greg's called in. Greg, good morning. Welcome to Ben and Woods.
Good morning. Hey, the Spoon Man has nothing to do. It's just an iconic riff.
Yeah, it's just like a good riff.
Yeah. I want to talk about Joe Musgrove.
Okay.
Did anybody else notice how down his fastball velocity?
Yes, we have.
The last year and how low his arm slot is?
Yes, sir. We talked to Eno Saris about it yesterday. We talked about it. When was his last start? The way he gutted out that
Joe's
one,
last start was Monday or Tuesday. The road trip.
And you know, I think he's probably concerned about it as well, you know, and it could be lingering from the capsule injury.
Like, how you say that?
Capsule. His capsule injury.
That's not a capsule?
Capsule.
Capsule.
Capsule. It could be lingering from that. It's not sustainable to continue to give up early runs and then hope your offense bails you out. He did give you six. He got the win and figured something out. His sweeper and his slider, I mean, the tilt on him, the spin on him looks good. It just, they weren't landing. So I think he's still just working through some stuff. I'm going to continue to kind of believe in Joe Musgrove because, the way he finished last season and coming in, I guess, semi-healthy, you know, we'll figure it out, but he needs to get it going too.
Yeah, you think with Joe, if there is a guy who can figure out how to make it work without his best stuff, you know, the kind of the dog that he is, he will come up with something. It may not be instantly, but he will figure out a way to make it work, and hopefully he'll get that mile an hour back. It's not like Joe is really old.
No.
Right? How old is Joe? 31, 32? Yeah, I mean, he should still have a couple of more prime 31. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should still, you know, injury if he's healthy.
If he's healthy.
Shouldn't see that dip quite yet. Now, Yu Darvish is definitely at that age where you watch for it a little bit now, but he's got so much spin and movement that, and he still gets it up to like 97.
He humps it when he wants
to. But you got
to
watch for more injuries as you get later in his career.
Like
things
his
like
neck.
Stiff necks and things that us elderly people have to deal with all the time. He was finding out, yes, that does not, it kind of sucks getting older.
I'm going to start taking 15 days every time my neck is stiff. You guys would never see me.
Well, you can just take a Tylenol. Do you take a tablet or you take a
capsule?
A capsule.
Yeah. I take a capsule. Capsule.
All right. We'll come back. It is a Cespedes Family Barbecue Friday. We got Jake from Cespedes Family Barbecue checking in. We'll talk some baseball with him. Hour number three of Bennett Woods next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.